This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. More and more studies show that mental and behavioral health are just as important as physical health during childhood. A study found that about 21% of kids in Wisconsin experience some kind of mental health need. But only about 5% of children in the state receive services. The Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse is working to address this need for services by employing a behavioral health specialist at their clubs, a unique strategy that could have a larger impact on community conversations about mental health. Joining us today to talk about behavioral health for children are Laquita Becker, the Boys and Girls Club's behavioral health specialist, and Mike Desmond, executive director of the organization. Laquita, could you tell us a little bit more about your role in the Boys and Girls Club?
If I had to really describe it in one word, I would say it's really support. Kids of all ages and backgrounds and experiencing different levels of mental health issues and behavioral health issues really just need that extra layer of support than what is generally provided at the Boys and Girls Club. It's, you know, really needing that one-on-one. So that's what I've been providing, is some of the kids who are struggling the most, providing that one-on-one and really focusing in on what are the issues underneath the behaviors, because I really look at them as just symptoms of what's going on underneath.
Definitely. And which clubs do you have a presence with among the organization?
My office is actually at the Mathie Club, located on Viterbo University's campus, but I have been involved in cases in almost all of the clubs now, where I'm keeping track of some kiddos and really checking in and meeting with them and being involved. So all of them, I guess, in a sense.
And Mike, you know, why did the Boys and Girls Clubs want to bring in a behavioral health specialist?
Well, it was kind of a combination of factors. From a personal point of view, I've been involved in a lot of mental health issues locally here with the county and the city, and I'm part of a group called the Mental Health Coalition, an advocacy group. And then, of course, many of the kids that we see at the Boys and Girls Club have experienced trauma, quite frankly, in their lives. And when you look at those two things and then you begin to work with the schools and the city and the county and realize what their workloads are in terms of county social workers, school districts are having trouble continuing funding full-time social work positions and so on and so forth, it felt like it's our obligation as a nonprofit, because it's the same kids, it's our obligation as a nonprofit to this community to try to offer services beyond what we were already offering to kids. And so this has really been in the works for a couple of years in the discussion stage, but we're finally able to put it together.
So you were definitely seeing a shortage of these kinds of services.
There is a shortage, and quite frankly, you know, there's a mental health crisis in this community, and it starts with our youth. And you know, I've heard statistics as low as 1% of kids who have diagnosable mental illnesses are being treated right now. And it's just, it's not because people don't care. It's because there just aren't enough professionals around. And the feeling is that if we can do something early in a child's life in a preventative way, maybe we don't have that big problem later.
And Laquita, what are the most common issues that you're seeing with these kids?
I'd say the most common issues are what Mike already elaborated on, would be some trauma in the past, and now that's stemming out into their everyday life and affecting them in big ways. Aside from that, there's also a cultural piece in this community. I think it's becoming more and more diverse, and it's just kind of trying to bring different cultures and backgrounds together in kind of a uniformed way.
And so why is it important to kind of address that trauma and offer, I guess, support for kids to work through that? You know, why is that important to address early?
The best way to describe trauma and how it impacts development is we're all born and we're going through life on, I think of like a train track, and trauma can really diverge an individual off what we would say normal development is. If it's early and it's small right away, but as you keep going, it gets bigger and bigger, that kind of off-track development, and it just impacts them even more negatively later in life if they aren't able to kind of cope with it and deal with it. And so then as they become adults, then they're struggling later in life as well. So I think the sooner you can start trying to get them back on the right path of development, then the better off they'll be in the long run.
And so you've been in the position for several months now. You know, how are things going?
I think things are going really well. You know, coming into it, I really wasn't sure what to expect and wasn't sure how it all worked, but I think it's really just putting itself in the right place right now. All the pieces are coming together, and I've really been focusing on doing some networking in the community and being aware of what's out there as available resources for the kids at the Boys and Girls Club to try and kind of get all of us on the same page and how to help.
And Mike, what changes have you seen since Laquita's kind of joined the team?
It's been a unbelievably positive change in just the culture of the club. And I give Laquita credit for that. You know, our first month or so on the job, we talked and I said, don't do anything but just hang out. Become a familiar face at the club and kids will get to know you. And once they get to know you, they'll get to trust you. And we'll worry about the other stuff later, but let's just develop this relationship. Because the research is very clear on this, is that kids, all kids, but particularly kids who have experienced trauma, what they really need more than anything in their life are meaningful relationships, trusting relationships. And there's varying levels of that they get at home. Some get none at home. And some depend on the club and our staff at the club. That's their meaningful relationships in their life. And then you add to that a person like Laquita who has some training, specific training in trauma and how to deal with kids with specific issues, who, first of all, has started off in a trusting relationship with them. I can think of an example of a kid, this is a true story, who told me when they first knew of Laquita, her quote was, I'm not going to no counselor. And now that person is in Laquita's office almost every day. And so that just shows what a meaningful relationship does for a kid in terms of their attitude, their behavior, and ultimately how they make decisions in their life.
And you said that, you know, this has really impacted the day-to-day kind of culture of the club. But do you think that there are going to also be impacts outside of the club?
Well, I think definitely that's one of the goals, because what's happening in lacrosse, which is really a good thing, is that there were a lot of agencies and programs that were targeting kids, and particularly at-risk kids. You know, the county had their social workers, and the city has people, and the school district has people, and the Y has people, and we had people. But for the first time, there seems to be a coordinated effort now. And so when you talk about outside the club, we're trying to develop behavioral plans that help the kid not just while he's at the Boys and Girls Club, but while he's at school. Or while he or she is just out on the streets. The community policing officers are part of the plan, and they see these kids out. And these kids sometimes bounce back and forth between the YMCA and the Boys and Girls Club. And by having a partnership with them, we can again develop behavioral plans that apply no matter what setting the kid's in. He knows what the expectations are for his or her behavior. And so instead of agencies, again, working in silos, which is kind of an overused term now, but that's literally what it was 5 to 10 years ago. Every agency was trying their best, but until we could break down those walls, our impact, I think, was minimal. Now I feel, because the walls have been broken down, people are talking. Laquita is talking with social workers every day from either the school district or the county or wherever. We can put together a unified plan to help a kid. And so all of a sudden, 1 + 1 = 10. And that's what I think it's going to mean outside of the club.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about behavioral health for children in La Crosse and how the Boys and Girls Clubs are working to provide services to at-risk youth. Joining us in studio is Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Laquita Becker, the club's new behavioral health specialist. And Laquita, you know, why is it harmful to just kind of assume that sometimes behavioral or mental health issues are just kind of a normal part of growing up? You know, why is that not a good way to look at it?
I think it's important to remember, like I said before, that behaviors can be just symptoms of what's going on beneath. So if we don't address I think of like a fire. If you're just constantly extinguishing fires but not really finding out why is there embers and fire in the first place, you're just going to keep getting fires. And so for the kids who, you know, it's a serious issue, if we just write it off as, well, they'll grow out of it, or, you know, it's typical teenage stuff, well, then they're going to become adults, and then society is going to say, you need to get your stuff together, you're an adult, and they aren't going to know how to, and then they'll just receive that those negative consequences later in life. So that's why I think it's important to remember that as there is some things that are typical for childhood development, there are some atypical things that need to be addressed.
Do you think we're seeing more awareness about these issues and about the need to kind of, you know, catch things earlier?
I'm actually quite amazed with this community. Like Mike said, there is a huge unified just wave coming in this community where everyone's trying to get on the same page of just raising awareness, not just with people who are, you know, learning about this or working for this in this area, but even just the general public, trying to raise that awareness at that level, at the public level as well, which I think is huge.
We've been talking about, you know, wanting to catch these issues earlier. And how is, you know, having a, you know, someone like yourself, a specialist in more of an after-school setting, you know, how is that helping everyone in the system kind of catch these issues earlier in a kid's life?
You know, outside the school setting, the kids who come to the Boys and Girls Club spend a large majority of their time there. So that just means that we can try and line up and, like you said, catch those kind of signs and symptoms earlier. And by educating the people who are working with these kids and raising their awareness, they can see smaller signs sooner, and then kids can kind of get that help sooner, hopefully. And I think it's important because the longer that maybe something goes on without getting addressed, the bigger it can get, and then the harder it is to address later.
And Mike, you know, you were talking about there being a shortage in this community of behavioral and mental health services. And, you know, I think a lot of times accessibility also has to do with cost and limited insurance coverage for these kinds of services. Are you seeing that as a problem here in La Crosse?
It's a huge hurdle. Take, for example, just a story that came out a week or so ago that Mayo was shutting down their inpatient behavioral health thing. The whole reason why, they can't find psychiatrists. That's a real problem. The wait to get in to see a behavioral health person oftentimes is weeks. Well, a person that's in crisis can't wait weeks. And so, again, I think what the emphasis is can we do something on the front end? Is it worth the money to invest on the front end to try to prevent the back end from even happening? Not to mention the legal costs. If a kid begins to start using drugs and alcohol or gets arrested, the cost to this community is astronomical. So if we can invest really a small amount of money on the front end to teach a kid to make good decisions, but even more important than that, what Laquita is teaching them is coping skills, so that when things do come up, because things come up for all of us, do they have the skills to cope? Because kids that don't have the skills to cope are going to turn to some of these other alternatives, unhealthy alternatives. I think there's a whole pendulum swing in that direction, too, when you start looking at the money that is spent on mental health services, juvenile justice, and things like that after the kid has gotten in trouble. It's something that you would go, that is a waste of money. And also studies show that once a kid gets in the system, the juvenile justice system, the likelihood of them ever getting out is very slim. It's almost like the damage has been done kind of thing. And for that kid to turn around, it's going to take a long, long time. But maybe we can be that agency that helps the kid never get into that situation by giving him the coping, him or her, the coping skills ahead of time.
Are we seeing kind of a influx of high-risk kids? Are we seeing more of that in our community, or is this a problem that's just, or not a problem, but just an issue that's always been there?
No, I think there's two factors. I think we're much more aware, so it may seem that the numbers are growing, but maybe they're not growing as astronomically as people would like to think. It's just we become more aware of it. But also, there's much more poverty in this community than ever before. There are neighborhoods in this community that are some of the most impoverished neighborhoods in the entire state of Wisconsin. And with poverty comes a lot of other issues that go along with it. So kids who live in a life of poverty are exposed to many of these negative forces in their life. And so I think the whole issue of poverty in this community is triggering some of the other issues that are the result of poverty.
And Laquita, we've been talking about accessibility, and I think for kids especially, another kind of part of that accessibility problem is, you know, the fact that they're reliant on their parents to take the time out of work to recognize that they might need to, you know, see a mental health services and take them, actually physically take them and to those services. I mean, do you feel like that is also an issue?
Definitely. One of the biggest things I'm learning with what this wave that I talked about earlier is that it's really trying to meet people and families where they're at and respecting where they're at, because I think that was a barrier before, you know, expecting certain families to be able to get A, B, C, all the places and services that they could use. And I think with this position and the other La Crosse Collaborative Family positions, you know, they're meeting people in the neighborhoods, especially with the Boys and Girls Clubs. They're located in the neighborhoods, and families are used to going to them, and the kids are already there. So we're really meeting them where they're at and where they already are.
Being able to meet them where they're at. Do you feel like that's also might help issues with stigma against mental health and sometimes that denial that there is an issue?
The biggest thing is that a relationship is getting established between, you know, me and the families that might not have happened if this were, say, maybe at a, you know, bigger agency or your typical agency where services are provided, because of that stigma around mental health and just things like that. So I think those barriers up front aren't as high, and then the chance to build a relationship with the families and the kids is a little bit easier, actually.
Stigma around mental health is just kind of been an issue for everyone for a long time. Do you feel like we're making progress on that, that more conversations are being started around this issue?
I really do. Most of the parents and families that I've talked to are just ecstatic about this progress, that they're recognizing it is an issue and that these kids need that support. And, you know, we're having those conversations in a safe place that people trust and respect. And, you know, that's bringing down their walls. And then we're able to kind of come together and increase the understanding of what needs to be done moving forward.
And Mike, do you feel like progress around these conversations has been made?
I think so. Stigma is one of the major issues. And, you know, the group, again, I belong to, the Mental Health Coalition, that's probably our one targeted goal every year is to try to reduce stigma. We do a lot of public speaking, not about stigma. We tell real stories. We're real people. I'm a real parent who has a daughter who suffers from real depression. And we go talk about that, and people are flabbergasted. But think about this, you know, if your child had diabetes, would you be embarrassed to talk about it? And the answer, of course we wouldn't. And we have to get to that point where we're not afraid to talk about depression or anxiety or any of the other things that lead to maybe more serious mental illnesses. In the same vein, you know, I kind of compare it to 20 years ago. This is before you two were much younger, little girls. We didn't talk about breast cancer. Women didn't talk about breast cancer. It was embarrassing. It was a private issue. It was all those things. And now we have one of the biggest fundraisers, Stepping Out in Pink, right here in La Crosse. It raises hundreds of thousands of dollars for breast cancer awareness, and people talk about it. And they're not embarrassed to talk about it. And the community talks about it. And they have events for it and so forth. Wouldn't it be neat if someday we were talking about mental illness in that same light? Because, again, 20 years ago, we didn't talk about breast cancer. No one ever mentioned the word. And now we do so much. And look what it's done.
That's Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, here with us today to talk about how the club is working to address behavioral health needs for kids in La Crosse. Also joining us in studio is Laquita Becker, Behavioral Health Specialist at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Laquita, we've been, you know, talking about how at-risk kids who, you know, who have experienced trauma in their life, you know, really need these services. But, you know, I also think that every kid could benefit from talking to someone about, you know, issues that they experience. Do you want to talk about, you know, how you help those kinds of kids?
I have a pretty open door policy, and the kids have realized that pretty quick. I have multiple kids who I would not identify as really needing my any sort of official services, but, you know, just like to hang out and, you know, just that kind of positive interaction and relationship. I get conversations going about some issues, and we can have a conversation about that with their peers. And I think that in itself is just a great way to reach kids who might not be what we would describe as not able to function right now or struggling hugely right now, but these are still positive experiences that can help build up some of the coping skills that we were talking about, or just opening their worldview, or just kind of hanging out. And I think that's a positive way to address kids that maybe aren't struggling now, but that doesn't mean we still can't help in some way.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned just, you know, kind of opening those conversations amongst their peers. Do you feel like maybe those relationships are also creating more acceptance and awareness of mental health issues among those kids?
I think so. I think when you can get some really good conversation going, but make it so it doesn't seem like we're really talking about anything serious, that kids learn through experience. And so if you can make it fun and interactive, which I think the Boys and Girls Club does a really nice job of providing many programs that the staff run to make it fun and energetic, but at the basic level of it, they're learning something without even knowing it, which I think is the best way to reach kids. And so I think doing that is a really good way to reach a large group of people or kids.
And Mike mentioned at the beginning, you know, some kids reacting adversely to the thought of having a counselor around all the time. But it sounds like you're really doing a lot to kind of remove yourself from that traditional white coat kind of, you know, psychologist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of the times I get the question, who are you? Or like early on, or what are you doing here? What do you do? Because a lot before I had my official shirts, they thought I was a kid. So I had to explain, you know, I'm really here. I really just described it. I'm here to support anybody who needs it, really, is the best way that I've learned to just kind of describe what I'm here for. And so they'll be like, oh, so you're like, you know, a counselor. And I'm like, well, I have those skills, but I have a lot of other skills too. And I'm really just here to help anybody that I can. And that seems to have done the trick. I really think kids have learned that they can come to me whenever they need something or if they're kind of going through something. And I think that is really what's been the biggest goal for this position. So I really am thankful for that.
Laquita Becker, Behavioral Health Specialist at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs, are here with us today to talk about the importance of mental and behavioral health services for kids and how the Boys and Girls Clubs are working to provide these services to high-risk kids in La Crosse. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation about the Boys and Girls Clubs' new focus on behavioral health. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about behavioral health services at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse. Back in December, the organization hired a full-time behavioral health specialist to provide better access to mental health services for children in La Crosse. And joining us today to talk about how these services have impacted the clubs and the community are Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Laquita Becker, Behavioral Health Specialist for the organization. And Mike, having a behavioral health specialist as part of the, you know, full-time staff at the Boys and Girls Clubs is a pretty unique situation, isn't it?
I'm only aware of two other Boys and Girls Clubs in the entire state that have gone down this road. And people are calling, people are looking at our model and asking, how did we put it together? And I think everybody understands the purpose and the end goal. But again, sometimes the trick is in the detail, how you put this together, how do you fund it, and so forth. And we're already got the wheels turning on how we could possibly fund a second position like this because we've seen the positive impact.
Mm-hmm. And what are other clubs doing to address this issue?
Well, many of the clubs are that I think are doing a good job with this don't have their own person, but have a good connection with the county social services, where actually social workers are coming into their building and so forth, and that certainly is an option. But the way we felt is that we wanted a full-time, dedicated person that was working with our kids, and that's how we tried to structure it.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about other clubs are reaching out. Do you know of any other clubs that are close to maybe adopting a similar model?
I'm not aware of who is actually adopting. I know that Madison is going down this road. Milwaukee is you know, they have 26 locations. They have you know, they have maybe 10 Laquitas, you know. But some of the clubs on the eastern side of the state, you know, Appleton, Fond du Lac, Kenosha, those areas are very curious as to how this all turns out.
Mm-hmm. And Laquita, are you finding that most of the kids that you are seeing and talking to, are they referred to you by the staff, or are you finding that some kids are kind of self-reporting maybe?
Mostly starting out, it was referrals by the staff. But now it's kind of expanded to school social workers, county social workers, or even parents calling, just inquiring more about how I could maybe help support. So it's really coming, I think, at all angles.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Boys and Girls Clubs obviously serves a variety of ages. Do you feel like there will be a larger impact as these kids kind of grow up in the clubs?
I definitely think so. We've kind of mentioned a few times how important the relationship, I think, is when working with kids. And so I think someone in my position, getting to know kids as they move forward through the club is a great way to build that trust and break down those barriers around big issues that they're going through. So I think it'll be definitely helpful as kids keep progressing and, you know, keep building that relationship.
And, you know, we've talked about how, you know, you're talking with social workers, you're interacting with maybe some school counselors, but, you know, how, I guess, on the issue of school counseling and those services at school, you know, what are they getting and that kind of setting that and what are you needing? Are you finding that you need to supplement to kind of some of the counseling that they might be getting at school?
I can't speak too much on exactly what they maybe receive from the school in that setting. That's why I think this is important to collaborate and make sure to be on the same page so that we don't have school focusing and working on one area and here at the Boys and Girls Club we're working on another area but not really coming together. And so that's why I think it's crucial moving forward to be all on the same page. And that's what I really aim to do.
And Mike, when you guys were kind of formulating the decision to create this position, you know, how often were you talking to the schools about, you know, kind of the services that they are providing to kids?
Well, we talked often. I would almost say weekly, because the things that we were seeing at the Boys and Girls Club, they've been seeing in the schools for years. And they're looking for solutions too, again, because in some cases their funding is being cut for these types of positions. So again, we sat and began to brainstorm what can we do together. You know, I think it's very interesting. Before we came over here today, we were Laquita and I were in a meeting with the school district and regarding a particular child that comes has been a member at the Boys and Girls Club. And this is new ground for both the school district and us that we're sitting at the table and we're talking about working out a plan for this kid to be successful, not only at school, but also out on the streets and, of course, in the Boys and Girls Club. And so that plan is being developed. And so you have a child who maybe lacks a strong support system around him, all of a sudden has now a very strong support system around him. And that's only got to pay off good dividends, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that, you know, schools in this area sometimes are seeing kind of these challenges of keeping, you know, full-time counselors around. Do you feel like this is a problem throughout the state?
There's no question about it. This is, you know, some people would call it an epidemic. I mean, it's something that we have to address, and it affects every aspect of life. You know, think about the kid that's in school that's suffering from severe depression or anxiety and so forth, and you're trying to teach them math, you know. And now teachers are supposed to be being evaluated on how well they can teach that kid math. Well, I got, you know, it's very obvious to anybody who understands mental health. Until you deal with the mental health issues that kid's experiencing, he doesn't have a chance of succeeding at math. You know, again, the pendulum swings back and forth, and the pendulum really swung one way to that the only thing matters, we got to teach kids reading and math and all this kind of stuff, and we believe that to be important too. However, until we start dealing with some of these kids' personal issues, particularly the ones that have experienced trauma, they don't have a chance in a math classroom or an English classroom or any other classroom. And I think that's kind of the message that we would like to get out there. And I know the school district is taking a very strong position in that direction, is that we have to begin to address this. And if it means working with organizations like the Boys and Girls Club, or in some cases they allow social workers and so forth right in the school, then that's what has to be done.
And Mike, you know, how is having a behavioral health specialist at the Boys and Girls Clubs part of kind of a larger movement that seems to be happening within the city to kind of, you know, provide services and address issues in some of the more vulnerable neighborhoods?
I think we are a piece of that big puzzle, and I feel really good about that. I have complimented the chief of police on numerous occasions about his idea of going to community policing. These community policing officers who work in these neighborhoods have been absolutely terrific. The impact they've had in those neighborhoods has been unbelievable, but I can particularly speak to their impact on the Boys and Girls Club. They come into the clubs regularly. They know all the kids by name. And, of course, they're dealing with those kids outside the club, or maybe more importantly, they're dealing with their parents and those families outside of the club. And I can't even imagine what they have prevented from happening. And then you add that the county added social workers into those neighborhoods. You know, and again, this is the model that's been a Boys and Girls Club philosophy since the Boys and Girls Club was ever around, is don't build a facility where people got to come to you. You move right into the most vulnerable neighborhoods and make it the place to hang out in the neighborhood. And now you see the police department is doing that. The county social workers are doing that. And again, for the first time since I've gotten involved in this type of endeavor, I see just a concentrated, unified effort to try to help some of the most vulnerable people in our community.
Mm-hmm. But what more needs to be done? What do you think is the next step for us?
That is the million-dollar question. I guess the thing that pops into my head right off the bat is what everybody struggles with, and that is, how do you fund all this? How do you fund all of this? I mean, for us to put together this position, like I mentioned before, was a 2-year process. We could use another one, another person to do this. Schools could use more. Hospitals could use more. The funding just isn't there right now. That's why I think the Boys and Girls Club, if we ever thought in a minute we could do this by ourselves, we're kidding ourselves. And if the schools ever thought that they could do this by themselves, they're kidding themselves, or the county, or the police department. But all of us working together, again, I think it creates that formula of 1 + 1 = 10. And that's how I think you can do it, even as funding gets cut.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about behavioral health for children in La Crosse and how the Boys and Girls Clubs are working to provide services to at-risk youth. Joining us in studio is Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Laquita Becker, the club's new behavioral health specialist. And Laquita, could you share with us, kind of a success story that you've seen since starting at the clubs?
Yeah. When I first started and I went my first day to the Boys and Girls Club at the Mathi, Mike would point out some kids who might be the tougher kids to kind of break some barriers with, who he knew had been through a lot. And so I knew I would take it slow, and a lot of them were teens. And I simply just offered one day to help this particular teen out with some homework. And now she constantly will just come up to me and be like, I got homework, and I'll be like, all right, bring it on in. But I think from that, building that trust just through something as simple as biology homework, we've had multiple now conversations about some pretty big issues that maybe she's gone through, or she, you know, her friends and family are going through. And that's just another support system then. And it all stemmed from homework. I didn't have to start off right off the bat with any big issues to address anything big like that. It just sort of happened in a natural way in something simple or homework. So I think that's a huge success in itself.
Mm-hmm. And why are someone like you who's kind of equipped to have these conversations, you know, why is it sometimes easier for kids to talk about these kinds of hard issues rather than talking to a family member or a friend?
I think sometimes, I'm sure we all kind of like that anonymous, I mean, they know who I am, but just that person who's just outside the situation, who has any bias towards it one way or the other, who can just help them think objectively. Sometimes other people in our lives sway us in different directions, and that can be a lot to take on, to think about, to figure out what to do. Having that objective person can help really just lay it out on the table and talk you through it versus trying to sway you one way or the other.
And are you finding particular challenges in helping teens address some of their issues versus, younger kids?
I'd say the biggest difference with the teens versus younger kids is the teens, at least at the Boys and Girls Club, have less structure. So they're more independent. So you really can't make it seem like we have to talk. This is what we have to do, because then their rebellious, independent sides come out. So it's really trying to be creative in, like I said in the homework example, of just trying to get your foot in the door. And I like to think of it as trying to use a side door versus the direct approach. So that's what I think the biggest difference is not necessarily starting right off the bat with what you know the issue. It might know what the issue is, but start it off with something more creative that you can build a relationship over.
Mm-hmm. And some issues that I imagine kids might be experiencing, like anxiety or maybe even in some cases issues with depression. Do you find that kids are kind of aware of, of these mental health issues? Like, are you finding that they have good education about, mental health in general, behavior health in general?
I think they're aware in themselves and maybe their friends when something's off. I think it could get better for them to be aware of, like, how to go about addressing it or what are the right avenues. I think we're still seeing, like we talked about earlier, that stigma of they just feel like they're on an island and that they should just figure it out by themselves and don't really know who to go to or how to go about it or how to maybe help someone they're seeing go through something. So I think that is a pretty big area that can be addressed.
And Mike, earlier you were talking about, stigma and specifically targeting that in the community. Do you feel like there also needs to be education about some of these issues?
No question. I think that one of the greatest things we can teach people of all ages, but particularly teach young people, is it's okay to be sad. There's nothing wrong with being sad. It's an emotion. We can't control an emotion. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be anxious. These are normal human emotions. But then we have to teach them that even though they may not be able to control that emotion, they do control their choices as to what they're going to do about the emotion. And that's where a person like Laquita comes in. You know, we all feel angry in our lives. We all feel sad. We all feel frustrated. We all feel anxious. But then some of us make good choices of how we're going to deal with that anger, and some of us make bad choices of how we're going to deal with that anger. And many of the kids that have gotten in trouble are feeling many of the things that all three of us in this room have felt at one time in our life, maybe. But they made a bad choice as how they were going to handle it. And what we have to do is to teach them that they have the power and control, not over the emotion, but they certainly have the power and control over what they choose to do with the emotion. And even if that is choice number one, I'm going to go talk to Laquita. That's a great choice.
And, what other, organizations or services in La Crosse are kind of providing that education to the community or sparking those conversations in the community?
Well, I think many of the youth-serving organizations are doing a fantastic job. YWCA has some great programs for young women, and particularly spearheads some programs for women who have been in trouble, try to get them back on a right path, a good path. And YMCA now is with their teen house and so forth is trying to address some of these issues, and of course the Boys and Girls Club we're doing it too. So it's organizations like us and the YMCA, the YWCA. Again, we cannot do this alone, but we can do it if we form these really tight collaborations with the La Crosse County and the School District of La Crosse. Now I think we can win this battle.
Mm-hmm. And what impacts or changes are you hoping to see 5 years or 10 years down the road now that, you guys are providing these kinds of services?
Well, just internally at the club, we would hope to see less behavioral issues at the club. Again, if a particular kid gets angry, instead of striking out at another kid, does he have another course of action, another coping skill that he can use? which hopefully then will translate till he takes that same coping skill out on the street. Instead of getting in a fight with another kid, he learns how to deal with that anger in a little bit different way. From a pure statistical point of view, we have one of the highest juvenile arrest rates of any city in the state of Wisconsin of comparable size. The county's taking a good hard look at why this is happening. And so just take a look at that statistic. If we looked at that statistic 5 years or 10 years down the road, can we say that we don't fit in that category again of one of the highest juvenile arrest rates in the entire state of Wisconsin? The answer isn't build more jails for juveniles. The answer is let's get to them before they make that bad mistake or that bad choice.
That's Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, here with us today to talk about how the club is working to address behavioral health needs for kids in La Crosse. Also joining us in studio is Laquita Becker, the organization's behavioral health specialist. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Laquita, I would pose a similar question to you. You know, what are your goals in the future as you kind of continue to develop this position?
I really see this position growing into something pretty amazing. Aside from just hoping that we see a decrease in behaviors, I hope even a step further, we have established a process of how staff can address these behaviors. And I think that's in part of educating staff and just developing maybe just protocol of, you know, what do we do when we see this? Because I think that's what's happening is staff are throwing their hands up in the air because they don't know what to do sometimes. And that's not their fault because you don't know what you don't know. But aside from that, I think trying to be involved in the community, like we said before, trying that collaborative piece. Let's all be on the same page because it does take a village to raise a kid sometimes, and we're dealing with some vulnerable kids, so why not all be on the same page together? So I really hope that it grows in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting that you bring up, education for the staff, too. That's not necessarily a piece that you would think of. Have you had opportunities to start kind of engaging in that education or process with them?
I've had some opportunities, maybe one-on-one with some staff, but typically more of the training is in the summer or right at the end of the school year, right at the beginning. So I very well plan to be involved in that area those trainings to address areas that need to be just expanded, because I think as much as the kid, we want kids to kind of work on their part, we as the adults and the staff who are working with them also need to take our part in it and how we might be perpetuating the environment that's leading to some of these behaviors. And so that's where I think the education comes in to be really key.
Mm-hmm. And do you wish that there was... Or is there another resource that you wish was kind of present in the community that that maybe kids don't have access to right now?
Gosh, there's a lot of resources in this community. I would just say even more of what we already have, because like we've said before, there's a shortage and we can only as an organization do so much. So just strengthening what's already there, I think, and like I said, collaborating.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked about how this position is kind of unique and outside of the traditional, mental health or behavioral health services. I mean, did you anticipate kind of being in a position like this or a part of an organization like the Boys and Girls Club?
Honestly, this opportunity really fell into my lap, and I couldn't have dreamed of a better job coming out of graduating the last semester. It's really providing all the things I've always thought about wanting in a job, that chance to be creative, work on a team, and help kids, and be part of the community. So, I mean, it's really got everything and more that I could have ever hoped for.
And you specifically mentioned working with kids. Is that a passion of yours?
Definitely. I was involved in sports all of my life, and so we always had to give back to the younger ages and put on camps and things like that all through college. And I learned pretty quickly that it just brings really a lot of happiness to me to see a kid really like a light bulb go on, or just know that you mean something to somebody like that. And so I've learned pretty early that kids and teens are who I really want to work with.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you're shaping this position, is, you know, is there something or that you're really hoping to kind of accomplish with it?
I honestly really, I brought it up a couple of times. I want the community to really see the Boys and Girls Club as a big player in addressing some of these big issues, because I think sometimes after school programs can get a reputation of just being a babysitting organization for the kids. And it's so much more. And we're really trying to be unified and intentional with the programs that we're using to try and put kids in a place to be successful, so that when they graduate and they go off into the world, that we'll have some success stories that can say the Boys and Girls Club changed my life, and because of them, I'm where I'm at today.
We've been talking with Laquita Becker, Behavioral Health Specialist at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the organization, about the importance of mental and behavioral health services for children and how the organization is working to address issues of access to these services within La Crosse. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.